Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPJ, Shir number 154. We called last year 154. It was actually 153. This year is 154. But we're on the same, we're going to continue on the same one, number 8 of the 13 things mentally strong couples don't do, is that they don't blame each other for their problems. So we started talking about it in the last year. We're going to be Mamshech in this year. And one of the ways not to blame each other for your problems is to develop the we mentality versus the problem mentality. In other words, you're going to face problems as a couple, and you have two choices when that happens. Either you fight with each other, or you'll join forces and fight the problem together. You identify the problem and you work on it together as a team. Adversity, difficulties, sometimes tear couples apart. That's just the yesod. That's one of the nesyonos in life. Adversity could tear us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's a nesyon sometimes. And it could tear a couple apart. It's a nesyon. And we have to remember that. Whether it's financial stress or chalila should never happen to anyone, a loss of a loved one. When you go through tough times in marriage, it could lead to intense emotions. Sometimes there are misunderstandings. Sometimes there are hurt feelings. And it becomes compounded when you're going through a difficult time. And both partners sometimes struggle. And sometimes they want to give emotional support to one another, and it's challenging. And sometimes when they're under a great amount of stress, they'll end up turning against each other. And this happens, unfortunately, Amy Morin says, when she see grieving couples. God forbid, should never happen, you know, if they lost a child. So one spouse is grieving, but they try hard to move on after they lost a child and move on with their life, and wants to get their life back as normal as possible. And this other spouse gets confused by their behavior. And she, let's say it's the husband that wants to move forward and acts that way, and the wife is still grieving and outwardly grieving and inwardly grieving. So she interprets her husband's moving forward that he's not sad or that he doesn't care, and she ultimately withdraws from him. And the more she withdraws from him in her grief, again, we're not blaming, we're just trying to explain it. The more that she withdraws in her grief, the more he tries to make things better. And they get caught in a cycle, and they compound their feelings. And they have marital problems because of that. She withdraws, he tries to reach out, feels very hurt by her withdrawal. Hurt by the fact that she's saying he's insensitive or he doesn't care when he cares deeply. And you have these issues, you know, or the husband in this case being impatient with his wife. You're not the only one grieving. I lost a child too, and you know we have to move on. So this is something that, you know, no one should ever be in such a matzav. Very, very difficult. But they sometimes need help and mentoring and guidance to give each other the right chizik and perspective and judge each other favorably as they went through such a difficult, difficult thing. So when a couple works together to attack a problem, what you'll find is that their adversity, that very adversity, can actually draw them close together. So don't say because chalila there's a financial hardship or a loss of a loved one that would create automatic distance. No. If you work through it, you overcome it, and you work on the problem together, and you work on acceptance together, ultimately your marriage will be even stronger. Stronger than it ever was, and that you can never ever imagine. Research showed that to be the case. It showed that natural disasters, as an example, can bring couples together. Researchers looked at what happened to the relationship of 231 couples who lived in Harris County, Texas, which in 2017, there was an area struck by a Category 4 hurricane, caused catastrophic flooding, and the couples reported significant increases in relationship satisfaction that began before the arrival of the storm and lasted a little while after the storm passed through. So, in other words, because what happens is they become happier with each other when they have a common enemy. It's the hurricane. We're going to beat it. We're going to fight it. They view the storm as a problem, and they work together to solve it, whether boarding windows, whether evacuating together. Then following the storm, they could work together on the cleanup strategies, or they may need to address a problem caused by the storm, such as temporary shelter or dealing with insurance if they are to receive damages. And they work together as a team that made them grow closer together. So the idea is to stop blaming your spouse. You pay attention to the language you use. Whenever you say it's all her fault, all his fault. Or another phrase to be careful on, if you just do this, if you just do that. So the idea is if that you're not happy with your spouse's behavior, you have to take a deep breath and pause and ask yourself, how do you want to respond to this? How do you want to respond to this? And look for ways that you can take a team approach to tackle the problem together. You may have made some mistakes in the past. You know, you agreed to things you didn't think were a good idea because you wanted to be supportive, and now you feel resentful and you blame your spouse. You can't change the past, but you can respond to it now. You may not be responsible for a problem, but you may make it worse by arguing about it. Maybe you nag too much. Maybe you lecture too harshly. Maybe you told your spouse, "I told you so," which only made problems worse. That even if your spouse made a mistake, that they have to own up and take responsibility for. But you're saying, "I told you so," and blaming them makes it worse. So you have to start the conversation by acknowledging your part. So for example, you may own up by saying, "I know we've been arguing a lot lately. I want to change that. I'm sorry if I say mean things to you when I'm frustrated. And I'm going to work on controlling myself better." So it's very important when you know, to stop blaming your spouse. And if your spouse is blaming you, and you probably already said it's not your fault many times, a lot of times by offering an explanation, not as an excuse, would help a lot. So for example, a husband may preempt. He came late for dinner. He was expected home, and he came a half hour late or an hour late. So he has to come in and not excuses, but an explanation. "I came late because I got tied up in the office. I don't have to bring work home, so I stayed an extra 20 minutes, and then I got caught in traffic." I the husband acknowledges, "I realize the kids need to eat earlier so that they can, you know, we can get them earlier to bed. Let's try to address how to make it better," and so on and so forth. So it's also very important that when you feel unfairly blamed, avoid the tendency to point out your spouse's flaws. Try not to do that. If, let's say, you're called out for spending too much money, don't remind them they're not perfect either and point out they broke a phone last month and had to buy a new one. Otherwise, it's going to be just a contest over and over that'll make it just worse and worse. Sometimes, you know, they may be blaming you for blaming them, you know, so the blame is a vicious cycle. To remove sarcasm from your speech and so on and so forth. You both need to want to stop blaming each other. It's very, very important. Resist that pull, you know, and work on the communication. And accepting responsibility for this does make you stronger. It makes you want to work on the relationship. And you'll find this, even if you initially blamed your spouse for a major problem, you let go of that and you just try your best to accept your own responsibility of things and be done like havschus, it often shifts very often in a very positive way. So that's the idea. Another thing also is don't look for allies. You know, what people often do in a marriage situation is they get into a fight with their spouse and then they look for other people to validate them, to show that it's not your fault and it's their fault. Collecting allies like that will not make things better. It will only make things worse. Does someone always need a healthy mentor to talk to? Yes, they need some advice. But to use your friends as target practice against your wife or your husband is very, very unhealthy, extremely unhealthy. So the idea is to think about these things. What are some examples of times that you took appropriate responsibility for problems that you share and that you both accepted your share of responsibility for a problem? It's very, very important to understand that. There are big things that people blame their spouses for. They blame each other for the fact that they're unhappy. They blame each other for problems that exist between the two of them. They blame each other for their own mistakes, meaning I made this mistake because you did such and such. I screwed up with this. I couldn't concentrate because you make me crazy. Things like that. And when you're on the receiving end of the blame, the key really is, first, is how much of it is really truth. They may have said it in a not nice way, but is there some truth in there? What can I actually make a difference in to behave better based on what I was told, to make the matzah better? So that's a very important insight, to try to fight off that defensiveness you initially feel and see if there's some grain of truth to what your spouse is saying. So the idea is a focused solution concept. What do you want to gain? You know, what do you want to achieve to make things better? And to give each other positive feedback. And then you could put in some normal constructive feedback without placing blame. That's the idea. You have to work on giving each other feedback without placing blame. You know, and that's really a key to all of this. So the idea is to focus on solutions. The idea of realizing that you need to change yourself very often, or in the way you shift your responsibility. Last year and this year, a lot of it is, like we always say, and we're going to continue to say it, you turn to Hashem and you ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya to help you with all these tools that you're learning from this book, from other books, from other svarim, to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you, give you the chachma bina v'das, and to give you the proper advice on how to go about being matzliach, being successful in overcoming this negative tendency of blaming, and instead to accept with a kindness and calmness responsibility for your own actions. And again, not to overblame yourself, not self-bashing, because people go to either extreme, and either extreme is unhealthy. Not blaming yourself excessively, not blaming your spouse excessively, but rather together work towards a solution and tackle the problem itself and turn to Hashem together and work through solutions together. And that brings a special ahava and a achva and a shalom where the Shechina is, even beyond if you would never have had these challenges. Sometimes challenges, yes, it could cause a couple to break apart. But if you overcome these challenges and you work through these challenges, they make you even closer, and it becomes more and more beautiful and more rewarding. And the greatest bracha is built into overcoming those challenges that were there and bringing out the best in yourself, which brings out the best in your spouse. Bracha v'atzlacha.